Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we're going to be talking about programming frequency. We're going to build off what we learned in our evaluation. We're going to find out the ideal amount of times a week we can actually train. Spoiler alert, we probably have very little control over this, but it doesn't change the fact that we should at least evaluate how to optimize that frequency to get the most results. If you like what you're hearing, head over to phpodcast.com, become a member of our coaching membership. This gets you access to web shows, program reviews, lectures, a ton of information. Plus, it gives you access to all of our certification and courses that we are building out as we speak. It is going to be a must-have resource if you're a strength conditioning coach. Head over to phpodcast.com. Let's talk about some training frequency.
All right, Tim, we're back. We're talking frequency and microcycle design. Sorry about that if it was too loud, but we're talking frequency and microcycle design. So hit us with it. Why is the idea that we have a choice in the matter just a huge myth?
Yeah. So one of the funnier conversations I have with someone is about what's your ideal split, you know, how do you allocate your big patterns? Mm-hmm. Let's just use this as a working template, push, pull, hinge, and squat, right? So an upper body push, an upper body pull, a lower body hinge, a lower body squat. So we have our lower and upper, and then it splits into subcategories from there, horizontal and vertical for upper body push and pull. Unilateral, bilateral for lower body push or a squat. And then you could really just say hip dominant, whether it's bilateral or unilateral, or you could break that up with hip dominant or knee dominant, again, bilateral and unilateral. So all that is like kind of your big categories. It gets a little like, it's easier to categorize when you have like hip dominant posterior chain, because if you really think about it, like the knee is a similar joint as the elbow. And then we look at that knee as a posterior chain developer, but an isolation joint. So just for simplicity's sake, if we're like looking at organizing your training split, you could either go from a hip dominant and then a squat dominant, which again is a knee dominant exercise, but still point being. Then we get into this conversation about like, what is your ideal like training split? Like, hey, I like to go upper lower, I'm a 3-day total body, or I like to go this mixed method and a push pull. All well and good, but really when you break it down, you probably have very little control over that, right? You get what you get and you don't get upset. And in a team sector, your coach, your DFO, GM, like they're just going to tell you how many days a week you can actually get the guys to train. In a private sector, you'll have a back and forth about what do you want? What are you willing to get it? And then it gets into this timeline and then you're okay. Well, if it's a big goal, very aspirational and a short time, frequency's got to match. And then it gets into the back and forth of time and then financial commitment. And then you have this back and forth. Generally speaking, it's going to play itself out probably the law of averages here, 3. And when we get into this, I have a preferred training split. I'm an upper lower person. That's what I prefer. Majority of the time is going to fall down into a 3-day total body training split. It's just saying the law of averages. It's never going to be 1. If it is, you should look to get another job. It's never going to be 6. And if it is, figure out what the hell to do in that time. And then figure out right in the middle, what do I do with a 3-day training program? And generally speaking, there's really only one way to do it. And that gets into a 3-day total body. Now there's exceptions. Sometimes it breaks up into, hey, I'm going to go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. That might lend itself to doing a lower upper total, or you can do a total upper lower, whatever the schematic of the week breaks out to be. But the truth is generally, we're going to probably have to utilize a 3-day total body training split. Just is what it is. So we now have an inventory of what is their biomechanics? You know, what can they do from a exercise standpoint? And then we did some sort of physiology assessment where we can go, okay, what is their capacity to handle density within a training session? So that is work to rest. So if we look at it, if I work a certain period of time, that offsets with a certain level of rest. And there's a couple rules that intensity and rest are linear proportionate. So the higher the intensity, the longer the rest. The lower the intensity, the less the rest. But there's also goes a corresponding inversely proportionate volume or time of retention or duration to rest. So typically longer duration has less of a need for rest. And when we get into this like conversation around density, you know, the exercises that we choose for that has a big impact. So if I want to do a high threshold, big external load type movement to really tap into the CNS, relative strength, power, there's certain exercises that are going to lend itself better to that than others, right? The ceiling or the governor that we have to place upon an exercise based off their ability to externally load or the capacity to externally load dictates a lot of the value we get from that their exercise. But then it comes off with a caveat of what is the actual biomechanics that they can do, right? If they have a fused spine, torn hip labrums, a femoral acetabulum impingement, several other things, a low bar back squat's probably off the card. So what do you do? How do you develop relative strength, power, without having the capacity to do that? But that gets in this other thing of a lot of these exercises, when you really break them down, depending on how we do it, start to bleed over. And one of the keys that I talk a lot about with our staff is movement's not muscles, but don't forget, we should feel certain things after a certain training session. So the muscles that are utilized during those movements are still important. And if I'm sore in my low back after doing a knee dominant quad exercise, like a squat, something went really wrong.
Yep.
And then we start to look at this, the whole premise of a push-pull hinge and squat platform is structural balance to allocate stress to specific areas so we don't become overdeveloped in one versus the other. And if we start to do exercise a certain way, or we have a limited capacity to do an exercise that stresses the tissues in the right and the correct manner, then we start to run into this problem of now I'm not going to be able to get the value from that structural balance of a 3-day total body of a push-pull hinge and squat because I'm doing that exercise in a certain way, and I'm ignoring a potential movement assessment that said I couldn't. And then you get into this next level of like, what is the actual ability to tolerate that stress within a training session or in a training week? And what I'm eventually getting to is we probably have very little actual control over the frequency we get with our athletes, but we have a lot of control over how we distribute exercises and then subsequently the variables, the sets, the reps, the time and retention, the intensity, and the rest within that exercise, in that training session, within that training week. That is the keystone piece. So getting like, all right, like I got 3 days to work with these guys and I want to make sure that I'm hitting these big rock or these Pareto principle 80-20 type of movements, push, pull, hinge, and squats. I want to make sure that they're doing it a certain way, that I'm allocate stress correctly along that actual muscular system to create this foundation of structural balance, to understand that I'm training the right things, input equals output. And then over time, I can manage that stress because I'm essentially isolating, right? Essentially, I'm doing a tourniquet and I'm stopping any other distribution of stress or load anywhere else based off the way I mechanically align myself to target that specific area, tying into this bigger global thing of like, it's a squat pattern. And I want to make sure that squat pattern is training the correct things. But the biggest misconception though is, oh man, I'm a 4-day total body or 4-day upper lower person, or I'm a 3-day total body. Like, no, you're not. You're not. I hope you're not. I hope you're more than that. And if you take offense to this, like, I don't care. Like, if you're like, oh man, that's not the ideal way to train, you're not living in the real world.
Yeah.
You're hammer and nail syndrome. And that's a problem because you need to be flexible and malleable to what it is. And a great example of this, when I'm working at Georgia Tech, we used to do a 3-day total body program because quite frankly, the practice field was a half a mile away. And yeah, if we're going to do any running on a lift day, let's say that we believe and advocate for a lower upper and we like to do sprint work on lower body days, it would take 30 minutes to get the whole team back over into the weight room to be able to do a lift on top of the run. So that meant we're going to do running on Tuesday, Thursday. We're going to be a total body Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Is that optimal? I don't know. Worked really well, but it doesn't really matter if we can't do it, right? So what's the point of arguing the fact of the matter? And that becomes the central theme. And like for the gym I own, like we do essentially a 3-day total body with an optional fourth day, which is more upper body and total body conditioning or circuit style conditioning. And the foundation is a 3-day total body because that's what I want our folks to strive to get. It's 150 sessions a year. I want to make sure that they're not cherry picking upper body days or lower body days. I want to make sure that they're focusing on total body development and getting their big rocks throughout the course of the week and eating their ice cream on the weekend with their fourth optional day. That to me is the pinnacle of what I'm supposed to be able to do. And is that like what I'm doing with all my clients? Absolutely not. If someone tells me they want to gain 20 pounds of lean muscle in 8 weeks, I'm probably going to push them to go to 4, maybe even 5, 6 days. And I'm going to organize my training to match that. And that changes the dynamic altogether. But there's nuance. There's a level of introspection that we have to, all right, am I married to this solution without even knowing the problem? There's a conversation around, I've got two this week, but if I do a good job, maybe I can get three in 8 weeks if I do a good job. And then I can get more money if it's a private training client, or I can have a direct bigger residual when I'm in the team sector.
What is the, so coach tells you you can get X days in the weight room with the guys. What is the, like the checklist for how you pick what you're going to do, how you decide to allocate that stress?
Off season, in season, right? So most sports outside of football are going to be in this perennial state of in season. It just is what it is. That's the dynamic we live in now. Like they're doing individuals, they're doing one-on-ones, they're doing pickup, they're doing everything all year. If they're a more baseball or golf type sport, striking sport, they can hit off a tee or do just practice all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that being said, is you have to figure out what is their big days and having a conversation around, hey, like with that athlete, with that coach, with their position coach or skills coach, what's our plan here? How are we attacking this week? Well, we want to hit off the tee 10,000 times every single week, right? Whether that's just in our made up number, but let's say that's the goal. Like, well, how are we distributing that? Are we going to go, 1,000, 1,500 every single day, or are we going to go 5,000 on one day, take 3 days off, 3,000 for the day and then 2,000 another day? How is this breaking up? And then I need to be malleable to organize my training around that. And the same thing with we do with 7-on-7 in football or player-led practice. The same thing that we should do around basketball and pickup and where guys working individual skills. Like there's all these dynamics that we need to account for with the sport that we're working with. And then we organize our training to meet. And it's just a simple conversation and talking to the players. And I'll tell you what, man, the more you can have an open dialogue with the players, with the position coaches, the chances of you turning 2 to 3 goes up exponentially, right? It's just they're concerned with my development as a player. They're not just trying to force me to lift. They're not as like trying to make me into a glorified GA in the weight room. They're trying to make me a better player. And that creates more trust, rapport, and then subsequently value. So get that conversation around what's our week look like? What's our week look like off season, in season? Then what's the best day to put a workout in? And I'll be honest, a lot of time in football, we go, hey, 2 days is probably the sweet spot here. Like we got a lot of time on the field. Let's say that we're a marathon practice team. Like Tuesday is a 24 period practice. Wednesday is a 24 period practice. Thursday is a 24 period practice. Though, if you don't know what that means, it's essentially 3 hours of practice with full pads.
Best. No experience like it.
No. And that's what the purists would say is just good football. You know, it's, you know, like those who survive will be champions. But how do you organize a training session around that? Right. Mm-hmm. And how do you do a lower upper or a like something? A lot of people will do a upper body only day during the week when they have 3 days sandwiched like that. I choose to do a little bit lighter, but I still want to hit these big patterns because the more I'm further away from hitting a lower body push pattern, the harder it is to get the value from that when I do it heavier or when I need to have a bigger residual, right? So it's this like, if it's important, do it every day. If you need enough exposure throughout the calendar week to optimize the benefit from the big day, but also limit the residual fatigue or soreness on other days. So having this like bandwidth to say that, like, I gotta figure out something on these days that these guys are going to be pretty tired, pretty gassed, and organize my frequency to adjust. Off season, having a conversation around, like, do you want to get stronger? Do you want to get faster? Do you want to improve your body composition? That, yes, we still need to practice. We still need to play. We still need to rehearse. We still need to go through these things. We're here to play football or basketball or baseball, et cetera. But you can't expect to have these great results without making at least some sort of concession on, we need to organize some of this practice around these big days that we have training, and I'll be flexible on it, right? And it could be as simple as toggling a lower body day on Tuesday as opposed to Monday, because that's our quote unquote big day we like to do player-led practice, like whatever the dynamic. But when we come back to it of like communicating with the staff, communicating with the players, having a little bit of assertiveness of like, you are the expert, they want you just to take the rein, be the strength coach, but not being locked into this preordained solution that you know is not going to fit perfectly in every single thing, and being malleable. And I could totally see a dynamic playing out where I'm going to do an upper upper lower split, but maybe, just maybe, that it turns into a big primary. Like, let's say I follow this, like, this rotating or tiered like fashion of, like, I got my squat day, I got my bench day, I got my pull up day, and I got my hinge day. And then everything kind of works off of that, where the other things have this governor and the supplemental. Is that really a full upper day when I'm doing extremely light remedial based stuff after my primary, just to organize my training so I can get good sprint work, good tempo runs, good change of direction work, good plyometric work? Maybe I'm doing total body lifts, like Olympic lifts, you know, that dynamic of, like, all right, this is an upper lower split, but I'm basically just doing a primary with a ton of remedial work off of that to optimize recovery so I come back tomorrow and train hard again. And is that an upper lower split? Technically, is it just one big movement and a couple other exercises support it? Sure. And when we get into this total body, if I'm doing a standing rotational chop, is that an upper or lower body lift? If I'm doing a snatch or a clean, is that a total body lift or an upper body or lower body lift? If I'm doing a swing, if I'm doing a med ball work, like, all this stuff is generating momentum from the ground up. It kind of gets into this hybrid role, which makes that upper lower split a little bit more difficult to define and pin down. But to answer your question overtly, it's this: having a conversation. What is the objective? What's the standards? What are we trying to accomplish? Engineering the week to facilitate the things that the coaches and players think they need to accomplish, but also getting what you need to get done as a strength and conditioning coach to perform and optimize, right? And there's all sorts of other variables of a guy coming off for surgery or an injury, return to play program. What's the ideal split for that based off of the days they're doing on the field work or doing rehabilitation work? I would tell you a firsthand story of doing a 4-day upper lower split, and then a guy coming off an ACL 6 months doing treatment and essentially doing as hard of a lower body workout as Ronnie Coleman could ever imagine in the training room. And the guy's, like, was slated to do, like, reintroduction to barbell work with me. And, like, you look pretty beat up, man. And he explained to me what you're doing. I was like, all right, we need to go back to this conversation around what is training, what is rehab? Because this is a bad bodybuilding session and you've just screwed my split here. And working with the athlete, saying, like, all right, like, I got you. I'm not going to take away the time. I'll just rework the week. But having a conversation with the physical therapist and athletic trainer around, like, are you going to do that workout again? One, we should have a conversation around why that's so dumb. Like, you basically did 600 reps of lower body, primarily anterior lower body pushing. I struggle with that. Then the other end of it is it just completely compromised and sacrificed the rest of the week for me. Like, I can't do anything with that kid now because he's so beat up. I'm like, what was the logic here? But on the other end of it, if, like, all right, we all agree that a violent attack on VMO and quad coming off ACL post-operative situation, all right, I got to adjust my training split. Like, we're just going to do a 5-day workout with really minimal stuff in the anterior parts. So maybe I just attack posterior chain and just, I'm going more bodybuilding 5-day, like, body part split. Like, I got to be the one who has to work within my environment. Because I'm the one who's burdened with knowledge of the inherent risk and limitations of certain myopic views of training and splits, but also to the downstream effects of, if I can just manage this and toggle this and organize this correctly, man, I'm going to have a really good result by just being strategic and leveraging what's necessary in that moment.
Now, do you typically just try to keep it at, like, there's 5 days in a school week, a work week, we're going to cap it at a 5-day micro? Or will you ever extend that micro, or even maybe even looking at micro dosing over, you know, those 20-minute sessions? Like, how do you view those things?
Micro dosing, micro results. I macro dose everything. sorry if there's anyone who's a fan of micro dosing out there. Minimal effective dose is lame, in my opinion. Maximal intended benefit is what I prefer to use. So
it is always better.
Yes. Real world scenario is we all are working within a 5-day work week, right? Like, scheduling wise, like, it's okay to say, I don't want to come in on the weekend. I'm okay with that. You know, like,
me either.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Like, I know a lot of professional athletes are saying, you got 4 days to get this done, figure it out. You're not touching my Thursday night through Monday morning. And you might get me on Tuesday morning if things go right for them. So, like, there's that dynamic of, like, essentially we're working within these, like, blocks of work. And what I would look at it, and I think a good metaphor of this and is this idea of, from a macro cycle perspective, we have these discretionary weeks in college football. We have non-contact periods in professional football. These are periods of like forced rest, right? Which maybe you do something, maybe you don't. If I'm good at what I'm doing in the time that I got, that discretionary or non-contact plays itself out nicely from creating the restoration recovery into what I need to be for the long haul. And the same thing within the microcycle, it's fractal, right? So we just consolidate that macro annual into a week. And I kind of got Thursday, I don't got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So my work week is Monday through Thursday. And I'm going to get the most out of it. And I'm going to tell them, like, these are going to be four hard days. I just need really locked in focus from peri-workout nutrition and then expanding that out to nutrition before, somewhat a little bit afterwards, and then way after, and then working through the lifestyle, like sleep, hydration, being mindful, getting off your feet, like really managing your stress load in these four really concentrated days. And just having a conversation of like, do you really want to get great results? Or is this something that you're just checking a box? And, you know, they always tell you, like, I really want to get great results. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. Like, okay, well, you gave me some pretty hard constraints here in terms of like, I can't do anything 3 out of the 7 days of a week, although like a 4 to 6, 4 to 8 week period. So essentially you're in a 4 week period, you're giving me 16 days to do my job. How do I get the most from that? And they're like, all right, well, it might mean I'm just going to backload my rest and my recovery. And within that microcycle of 4 days of work, I got to be really strategic of like, all right, I'm going to push to the upper limit. I'm going to utilize all the lifestyle, nutrition, supplementation I possibly can. But on the other end of it is I got to organize this from one day to the next to optimize. And it could just be what I call siloing off or quadranting your body of like, all right, I have this upper and lower quadrant. I'm just going to allocate stress there. And I want to be very bifurcated with nothing below the waist on upper body days and nothing above the waist on lower body days. So I can be very strategic. Could be more of like a unilateral, bilateral approach, could be more of a push-pull, but I got to be very strategic with how I allocate that stress. And then it gets a little bit muddier when we go, we're never just lifting with athletes. And if you are, you're probably missing a really good opportunity to develop full athleticism and having correspondence to what they're doing. So you're going to be sprinting, you're going to be doing maybe some max speed tempo work, you're going to be doing some plyometrics, you can do some change direction, power cut, speed cutting. You're going to be doing Olympic lifts or total body power movements like trap bar jumps or med ball throws. You're going to be doing this stuff that's doesn't fit nice and neat into these boxes of upper and lower. So figuring out ways to organize that doesn't hinder or limit performance. But another thought experiment of like, hey, I got a 5-day work week. I only work Monday through Friday. It'd be, what if you just break it out 2 weeks? Like, what would you do if you had 2 weeks within a microcycle? Like, there's nothing saying it has to be 7 days. It could be a 14-day period or a 10-day period. You go, okay, we're going to work Monday to the following Wednesday. How would I organize my training and that there? Maybe I do essentially these like 6 different workout structures within that microcycle and repeat the next 10 days. So I'll go upper one, lower one, upper two, lower two, upper three, a lower three. And then I repeat that the following Thursday. And then I have Friday. And we have like these every third day, a day off, like that kind of thing. There's all sorts of ways you can really navigate this. And it's just a matter of what is the constraints your athlete or coach are giving you. And if you can manage that, if they say, hey, you got me, I'm fully committed to this, like nothing's touching me for the next 8 weeks. Like, all right, like how weird can we get with it? And why would you do a 10-day microcycle or 14-day microcycle? Because I feel like we need more variation within this microcycle with this set rep, time under tension, intensity and rest protocol, right? That this person needs to put on a lot of lean muscle mass, but they get very overloaded with these patterns quickly. So I want to distribute that across multiple planes and vectors. I want to distribute that across multiple origin insertion points. I want to distribute that across maybe exercises that are going to be more mechanically advantaged or disadvantaged. And I want to get more variation within the microcycle. So that just stretches out my microcycle. Or maybe not. Maybe I go, hey, we're going to do a 5-day microcycle and it's going to go lower, upper total. So I go lower, upper rest, total rest, and then repeat. Maybe I do that. And my point of all this, Corey, would be there's so much opportunity when you start to explore and reach and organized. This is why I said at the onset, this is for me a very fun and interesting topic. And I love it because it's just problem solving. It's putting together a good puzzle, right? Like I know what I'm working with from an exercise kind of like platform and variable standpoint from doing our evaluation we talked about last week. I know what I have to do in terms of the frequency and the microcycle I'm working with or the window that I'm working with. How do I organize it? And it can get so weird and so like beautifully nuanced that it's just endless and infinite in number of possibilities you can do. But you gave me some constraints and now I'm going to organize it. Like, hey, can we go 2 sessions on Monday and then 1 on Tuesday? Recovery or just a GPP, have fun, do whatever you want, go rollerblading day on Wednesday and Thursday. We come back and hit a sprint workout and then a total body workout. Like, I could do that. Like, all right, cool. So we're going to get 5 sessions in 4 days. Like, that's okay? Yeah. And I've done that for the record. And definitely keeps you on your toes as a coach because you come very, very like built around the routine of like, oh, 9 a.m. I got this guy coming in and we're going to be doing this upper lower split and we're going to keep the same cadence of what we're doing from set rep, intensity, time under tension, and rest from one day to the next. So I'm not thinking a whole lot about like, oh, it's 5x8 with a 4-0 exo tempo with 90 seconds of rest between A1, A2, and then A2 back to A1, like versus like you get a very big, confusing microcycle. You have to explain it. You have to walk through it. Why are we doing this? Why we have a little bit different from one day to the next? All that stuff becomes like, I think, incredibly interesting. And if you're going to like ask me what's my favorite like segment of periodization, training session design is, it is what it is. I feel like it's something of like a fractal relationship with the quality we're trying to develop from a macro cycle, like, you know, the outcome. So I tend to defer to block because I like to saturate certain things to see the cause and effect relationship, relatively speaking, to the outcome I'm trying to get. But the microcycle is like, man, when I'm thinking about, and it's like, even now, like I've gotten so much remote clients and the thing I first tell them to do is like, you aren't locked in to a group fitness model. Like you want to go to a workout on Saturday, you can do it. If you want to do 2 sessions on Monday, you can do it. Just one thing I'll ask, if I'm going to write it, I want you to be able to follow through with it. So if you
just let me know.
Yeah, you can't do it. That's okay. But tell me your schedule. What's ideal? Like, oh man, Wednesday suck for me. I was using my errand day. Like, let's not work out. Why I want to get this? I want to get 5 days. What doesn't have to be this? Like, well, what would we do if we did like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Like, let's unpack this. What do we want to accomplish? I want to put on more muscle. Like, okay, well, that means we're going to get maybe an upper lower on Monday and Tuesday. Maybe we get a little bit of GPP conditioning on Thursday and we do back to upper lower on Thursday or Friday, Saturday. I don't know. Let's play it out. Like, or I don't have access to the gym that I want to do on upper body days on Thursday. Can we switch it out for Saturday? Sure. You know, like that, like that's the fun part for me. It's just like the organization and like some of the ones I've been playing around with of like someone wants to put on more muscle and just generally speaking, they just want to look better with their shirt off, right?
Yeah.
An adult male tells me they want to put on muscle. It's largely like above the waist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how much can I get a certain amount of frequency without compromising their recovery. And one of the things that I've been playing around with is a 5-day split of upper, lower, upper, lower, upper, and organizing that of like doing a structural balance assessment. So if they're weak in terms of their pulling to pushing ratio, I do the bookends of the week of pulling. So maybe a vertical pull on Monday and a horizontal pull on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever I feel like they need from a structural balance / development, chances are it's probably going to be something more horizontal in nature to develop pec. But if we're like, I just love some vertical pressing, like we'll just put that as our primary on Wednesday. And then I'll do the same thing for their structural balance on their lower body, but I'll just spread it out between Tuesday and Thursday. And that split's been going off like gangbusters. Like, the boys are loving it. And I'm like,
yeah.
It's kind of like a little hearkening back to a body part split, but there's also an element of like, it's still movement oriented and I'm categorizing my push, pull, hinge and squat. And I'm basing it off their structural balance. And again, there's a 5-day work week there. So I got to figure out what's their fitness, what's their readiness, what's their blood pressure, resting heart rate, what's their heart rate recovery from their fitness, all these things. Because if I'm going to do a very high density, high volume, high frequency strategy, and they're not physiologically ready to do it, probably going to break down, or I could just adjust the microcycle or the mesocycle length, right? So I get into this next level of like, all right, this is a pretty aggressive approach. I got to be more rapid with the change of that microcycle. So I might change every 2 weeks now instead of 4 or 5.
Yeah. Wow. That was awesome. You crushed it. I really like that micro design you just laid out. That was really good.
Yeah. I'm writing it. I'm like, oh, I might need to do this, man. Like just, yeah. You know, this is the money.
Yeah, I'm ready to go on that split now.
No, I know. Yeah. And like call out the Tim Karen proprietary split right there. It's a Karen split. Yeah.
Well, it's good. It's like you said, it's like that perfect blend of like body style, body lit, or, you know, bodybuilding. And then you take it back to the structural balance, man. I'm the same way. I get fired up about this stuff. You know, it's a puzzle. It's so much fun.
Yeah. But like to the point of like working with you as an offensive lineman, like, hey, we got to keep putting muscle mass on you guys. We're going to keep you running. I go back to that a lot of like, I probably do maybe that, but invert lower and upper.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it might do.
Yeah, no.
You know, and so I can get more frequency and exposure. So that's essentially where I've been like pushing towards lately.
Yeah. That was awesome. I love it. Thanks, Tim. This is great.
Appreciate you, Corey.